Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast is a mixture of short podcasts based on the blogs we have and longer podcasts, which will be interviews or discussion topics. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? In my blog last week, I spoke about teamwork and how it applies to us as divers. This week, I'd like to dig into how that means some of us are required to be leaders. Aside from dive masters and instructors, the idea of being a leader as a diver might seem strange, but that depends on your definition of a leader. If you consider it to be someone helping people to reach a goal, it makes more sense. This means the leader isn't necessarily the boss. The job of a leader in a casual or short-term team is to keep an eye on the whole situation. The best leaders are people who don't let themselves get sucked in and can maintain an overview. As with any team member, a leader needs to have good communication skills. That doesn't mean, however, that theirs is the only voice that is heard. In fact, during a regular dive, a good leader can step back and allow others to run things, giving the leader the chance to oversee everything without being distracted. A few years ago, I was guiding a group of divers on a deep dive to a local site. It was their first time there. They were a mix of experienced divers and fairly newly qualified ones. Their instructor was with them, but was unfamiliar with the site. In this situation, the instructor was the leader. I was just there to show them where to go. We agreed that I would be at the front, and the instructor would be at the back, where he could easily see the whole group. At our deepest point, one of the divers was clearly not happy, almost close to panic. The instructor could see this and quickly moved to a position close to that diver in order to help calm them down. It took me a little longer to see what had happened, positioned as I was with my back to the group. As something had changed, I now asked the leader what he wanted to do. On his decision, we shallowed up and the diver with him visibly calmed down and indicated they wanted to continue the dive. The instructor could now move back to his position overseeing the whole group. In this way, you can see how the guide isn't always the leader. Let's say you find yourself on a dive boat, buddied up with a fairly newly qualified open water diver. You are a rescue diver with a few hundred dives under your belt. The dive master on board gives the briefing and will be following a set profile and route, although it isn't required that you stay with him, so long as you're with your buddy. At this point, a leader should be finding out and communicating the goals for the dive. Does your buddy just want to explore? Is there a particular feature, such as fish, a wreck, drop-off, or swim through, etc., that they wanted to see? How about yourself? Why are you doing this dive? Once you have found out each other's goals and made sure they are compatible, you can make a plan as a buddy pair. This might be the decision to stick with the guide or go elsewhere. As a leader, you should be thinking about how feasible the plan is. Once in the water, your buddy might be in charge of navigating, leaving you with capacity to be watching and making sure they are checking their own gas frequently, as well as double-checking you are following the planned route. If you had been paired up with a photographer, then it is likely they will get task-focused at some point during the dive. So as a leader, you will need to be a little more hands-on, perhaps reminding them to check their gas if you haven't seen them do it, or focusing more on navigation. Specialists in teams, that is people who have a specific role such as photographers, tend to need to focus more on their task and need to be given the freedom to do that. This means being aware as the leader that your job is to know that they may not have great situational awareness and you will need to consider any aspects that may affect the specialist, as well as yourself and the rest of the team. Summary. Good leaders and good followers exhibit much of the same behaviour. The difference is generally situational. One is required to have a full oversight of everything going on, the other can be more immersed in it. As I mentioned in the previous blog, two of the most important skills are communication and trust. Building trust as a leader means developing psychological safety. In a short-term team, this is tricky, but as always, a good briefing, or post-briefing chat if someone else has given the brief, can help set the tone, along with a debrief after the dive to discuss what went well and what can be done differently. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.